I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
Sorry, your brother.
No, please. You're such a sweetheart. Okay, Thank you so much. Good night. She's so sweet. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. Coming at you still from Iceland. Insane. It is icy over here, but I hear you guys have some rain in LA, so we're kind of on the same page. As you guys know, the Women in Tech podcast shot up to number one in the world, which is crazy. So I am doing some interviews remotely, and we get to connect with PetNet right now. Hello, Carlos. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about PetNet.
Hey, thanks for having me. My name is Carlos Herrera. I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders at PetNet. We're based out of Los Angeles, and what we do is we create technology to help pet owners better care for their pets, in particular guide them towards to better nutrition for their pets. So we use artificial intelligence, robotic sensors to figure out exactly what your pet needs in terms of feeding and how much to feed your pet, what ingredients to feed your pet, etc. And we also do this by integrating to your smartphone and a lot of other smart home connected devices to make your life easier. So there's a lot about convenience, a lot about health and wellness.
And I have to know, like, how did you become passionate not only about, you know, animals and pets, but also the technology involving them?
Interesting. Yeah, my background's actually in robotics. I came from the defense industry. Spent a good 7 years working for customers like the intelligence community, where we would build sensor systems, mostly unmanned, to do espionage, you know, collect data, if you will. And we also built systems that would take that data, analyze it, and close the loop. You know, in that world, it's finding a target, being able to take a lot of information, a lot of raw data, and make sense out of it in an instant, right? So My two co-founders wanted to take that same approach to pet care, because pet care is a little confusing. I think there's so many different options as a pet owner. If you own a cat or a dog, you really don't know what to feed them. You know, there's almost 30,000 different types of foods out there. And the question everyone asks is, which food do I feed my dog or my cat, and how much do I feed them? So we created the system that helps you prune through all these 30,000 different SKUs of food and helps you match your pet with a particular food recipe that's out there. You know, and we do this for free. There's really no cost to it. Our system has become kind of the next generation pet store. It's a pet concierge. You know, it's a machine, learning machine. So it's learning about you, the pet owner. It's learning about your pet's eating habits, and it's always constantly guiding you towards guiding you and your pet towards healthier nutrition based on the data that we acquire on a daily basis.
This is heavy. You've taken something fluffy, sweet, and lighthearted and made it, like,
I know,
super deep.
It is, you know, and the thing is, it's like, the reason why we were so disturbed is because people are overfeeding their pets and feeding them junk. And they don't know. It's not like pet owners really are doing this on purpose. It's just they don't realize that most of the food out there is very carb heavy. You know, carbs are a very cheap source of energy, and cats and dogs are carnivores. They should be eating protein heavy foods, but they're hard to find, and it's almost impossible to decipher which foods are good, which foods are bad. And then figuring out how much to feed your pet, you know, it's also really hard. And so we're just trying to build a tool that's simple. It sounds complex because the problem is complex, but the tool itself is easy to use, right? You could think of it, we built the hammer. So we help you figure this out. You just tell us your pet's age, weight, level of activity, and we give you the results. It's really easy to use.
It's so cool. And where in LA are you based?
We're actually in downtown. We were one of the brave souls who signed a lease here in downtown LA.
How long is your lease for?
You know, when we started, it was like The Walking Dead outside. There were zombies, and now there's actual humans. We have it till 2018, so we've seen the gentrification of the area. It's becoming quite nice now, actually.
They've been working on that forever. I like downtown LA. I think, especially now with the train, you could get from Santa Monica to downtown so easy.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Vice versa, obviously.
I know. our previous business was in Santa Monica, and that was, it was a pain to get in and out. I mean, Santa Monica might as well be an island.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. We're headquartered in Santa Monica. And are you from L.A.?
No, I was actually, I grew up in South America, so I'm from Colombia.
Oh, cool.
Came here when I was 12 and, you know, been here ever since. So, you know, grew up most of my life in L.A., though.
Very cool. And when was PetNet founded?
2013. So it took us quite some time to build the system. It's very hardware dependent. You know, we got to collect data and we need sensors for that. So our sensors are hidden in feeding bowls, feeding devices. One's called the smart feeder, the other one's called the smart bowl. And both of them will guide pet owners to the right portion. Along with the app, we guide them to the right recipe as well, the right food. But both of them are made out, you know, they're hardware devices. You could think of them as smart home type devices. So we do a lot, everything from electronics design to industrial design, mechanical design, and then manufacturing, import, sale. we sell our products in a bunch of different places.
And how many people are on your team?
You know, when we started, it was just three of us, and now we're mid-20s. So
rad.
Yeah. It feels like a big team, but it always feels like we're understaffed by a factor of 10.
Nah, I mean, don't we all? Yeah. And who was your first hire?
You know, when we started, the three founders, you know, we were looking for someone to help us with the manufacturing. So we actually hired someone out in Boston. You know, Boston has a pretty nice legacy of building hardware products. iRobot came out of there. There's a few other robotics companies that are out there. So we hired, I'll call her a lady, even though she was young and she still remains young. Her name's Anu. She's out in Boston. So she helped us get our system up and running in terms of manufacturing and supply chain, things like that.
Very good. I actually used to live in Back Bay, so I appreciate that. And how did you scale?
When it comes to scaling in the pet industry, it's enormous, right? The pet industry has about a 1 billion with a B domesticated cats and dogs in the world. About 200 million of them are in the United States. So 80% of the world's pets population is outside of the U.S. And that's the interesting thing. People think of the U.S. as kind of like going pet crazy, but there's countries out there that are going even they're going pet crazy as well, but at a faster pace. You know, U.S. we're growing at 3%. Countries like China and Brazil are growing like at 10%. So we're trying to build a system that can scale. That's what it took us a long time to engineer this, because we want to be able to address the whole market, not just the U.S. market.
Totally.
So we're just at the point where we've deployed the system and are looking to scale it in the U.S. But we'll be deploying in Canada soon and in Mexico as well. But just to give you an idea of how big the pet population is, we already have customers in 88 different countries without doing any marketing. It's just people want what we have, you know.
No, it's amazing. And like, and why LA? Why be headquartered in LA and not another startup city?
You know, it's really, I think the founders, we're just from LA. We're LA people. We like it here. You know, I think outside of the benefits, like the weather, is just, there's a lot of talent out here when it comes to marketing, user experience, software. You have a lot of great universities, a lot of creativity. So, you know, for us, it made sense to be here. That said, you know, we have a second office in San Francisco. We did spend almost half a year in Boston. So for us, the location, like the whole United States has tremendous talent. But we call LA home, so that's the big reason why we're here.
Have you guys raised money, or are you self-sustaining?
Oh, no. Yeah, we've raised quite a bit. Our seed round was about $11 million, and we're right now in the middle of our Series A, which will be an additional $10 million. And we've also just closed a debt deal. I can't disclose with who, but that debt deal is for an additional $5 million. So just to give you an idea of like hardware-dependent companies just require a ton of capital. But at the same time, it's a huge barrier to entry. And if we can build what we want to build, then we'll probably be the only ones out there that have built this this framework for pets in the pet industry.
And did you raise from any LA ventures or angels?
LA is a tough place to raise money, I got to say. you know, a lot of the money here goes to entertainment, goes to defense. I found it a lot easier to raise in New York, Boston, San Francisco, of course. But, you know, that said, we still find LA home. So.
And how did you start that initial journey into fundraising? You said you were in Boston when you first started fundraising.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give everybody like one tip on what to do when seeking out fundraising for specifically a hardware company?
You know, it's all about the story. I think when as you're fundraising, market size is really important. You know, VCs, even angel investors, they're always thinking, can this scale, right? Because you need to be able to build something that's big or had potential to be big. You have to be able to have an operational plan that can grow with your capital needs. So, you know, you have to build that story. And I've been raising money for almost a decade now, so I've become really good at it. But once you have that story, then introductions are the next most important thing. Without you knowing who these investors are, you're stuck in the mud. So we were, you know, in the hardware space, we were new, and we joined an incubator. We applied to an incubator called Bolt out of Boston. They've since expanded to the West Coast or in San Francisco as well on their second fund. And we were part of their first class. But the most powerful thing they're able to help us with is introductions to hardware investors. You know, all of that, the story, the networking, it all plays into fundraising. And I think the last piece is you just have to be relentless. You know, you get more no's than you get yeses, but that's the path. That's the right path. You know, it feels like the wrong path, but that is the right path. So you just have to keep knocking on doors and
totally
be persistent.
Totally. My mom says every no leads to a yes. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question.
Or is one step closer to a yes. Yeah. How did you first go to market in the very beginning? Like when you first built it, it sounds like you really were able to capture market share fast.
Yeah. It's one of those things where for us, we needed to build infrastructure first. So a lot of our seed funding was towards building an infrastructure. And that's a scary proposition for investors because they don't, you know, if you're a consumer brand, they want to see your products in front of the consumer. So it took us about 3 years to get to market. And once we did, we hired some great people that had sold a ton of stuff. Our VP of sales had worked for Nest, and he had ran channel sales for Nest. And he was able to put us in front of retailers. You know, and at the same time, we're selling pet food and pet products to pet owners. It's what we're doing is hard to build, but it's not hard to sell the idea of, you know, hey, do you want your pet to be healthy? You know, it's everyone's going to say yes. So from that perspective, it wasn't too hard. And we actually went to market on Amazon.com. Amazon is also one of our investors. So they're
amazing.
Then they've been amazing. They're a great resource for us. But that's where we went to market. So I think when it was all said and done, it was all orchestrated over a period of time, and it took a lot to get it done. But once we were in front of the customer, you know, the final test, if you will people buy these things? And the answer was yes.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
All that work. And how has LA specifically helped accelerate your growth?
You know, for us, it's one of those places where we think of LA as our sandbox. There's so many pet owners here, and everything, a lot of what happens with dogs in particular happens outdoors. So we get to see a lot of the events. We get to interact with people in downtown Los Angeles, and almost everyone here has a cat or a dog. So we use them as our test subjects, if you will. When we think scale, we're thinking metro cities all around the world, and a lot of them are modeled like Los Angeles. So, you know, the interactions we have here, they're going to become learnings for how we go to market in other cities. So it's really a foundation for growth for us.
And what resources in LA, for specifically in tech, do you recommend?
I think the people. That's the most powerful resource. You have Caltech, you have Harvey Mudd, UCLA, USC. You know, there's just a ton of talent here. And you know, the kids, I call them kids because I feel old now, but the kids that are coming up, they're just so savvy about building stuff, you know, the makers. I think that's the key is you need people that know how to make stuff. Of course, there's a lot of engineering that comes behind it, and there's the difference between the makers and the engineers. The hackers and the engineers are from different planets, but you need both, you know. So I think ultimately the resources that we've leveraged have been the people. You know, I wouldn't say there's an institution out there that we've leveraged, but rather kind of the know-how, you know, kids that have worked at JPL, you know, we talk to them, right, and they're, oh, yeah, you know, I know how to build a communication system and things of that nature.
And this is, I'm really excited to hear this. What LA tech companies or talent have you come across lately that have really impressed you?
You know, for me, Ring, Jamie Smirnoff, the CEO and founder of Ring, man, that guy's badass. he's one of the most relentless, talented people I know. And you know, I met him a few years ago. He's out in Santa Monica. You know, his conference room table is a surfboard.
And, so dope.
You know, he's grown that business into something pretty incredible. And it's one of those things where he's going against all odds, where, you know, VCs don't invest in hardware. You know, he was able to raise from Upfront Ventures out here in LA, and hardware companies are hard to scale, but he's been able to scale it. So I think, you know, that company has impressed me. You know, they're in our space, if you will, you know, smart home.
Right.
Where you don't see a ton of success stories, but his has certainly been one that we've tried to replicate.
And tell us, what is Ring?
You know, Ring is it's a bunch of products now, but when they first started, it was a video doorbell, right? So being able to record someone at your door, being able to communicate with someone at your door, even though you're not home, and you know that provides that level of practicality. Provides really a lot of peace of mind for people who are at work or traveling, you know, knowing who's at your door. And we have one at our house, and you don't realize how many people actually approach your door in a given day. You know, you're at work, you think, oh, no one's coming over. No, there's, you know, 5 to 10 people that are hitting that doorbell.
That's great. And if I remember correctly, they started with a crowdfunding campaign.
That I don't know. You know, I'm not familiar with their initial story, but I do know they raise money from Upfront Ventures,
and
they've hit quite a stride nowadays.
Do you happen to know their domain name? Is it Ring? It's Ring something. It's not just Ring.
It is ring.com, actually.
No, that's where the Upfront money went.
And you know, the most impressive thing about Ring was when I talked to Jamie. He was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go up against Nest," and at the time, Nest was like the king. You know, and you know, you forward in time 2 years since I spoke with him. I think Ring is killing Nest.
I remember when I was sitting on the grass with Mark Zuckerberg, and he was like, "I'm gonna take out MySpace," and I'm like, "Whatever, dude. Like, not gonna happen." Yeah, MySpace is like the biggest. Yeah, I'm like an idiot. I was like, note to self: never become an investor. Because you can't foresee anything. If you had one ask of the community, anything that they could do to support you and your success for PetNet moving forward, what would that ask be?
You know, in particular in LA, we want to become kind of a known entity in Los Angeles. Like everyone thinks of startups as being from San Francisco, and you know, I think there's an opportunity for us to build a home and be able to create like downtown LA as a home for PetNet. So, you know, that's something we've been working on, trying to get the local community to be able to prop us up, if you will. So I think there's a lot to it. There's so many pet owners here in Los Angeles. And you know, if we get the support of Los Angeles, I think we're going to have great success moving forward.
Awesome. And of course, how can people connect with you?
Honestly, the only way to communicate with me is through my cell phone number, because I ignore almost everything else. I love to converse with other people who are building startups. It's nice to hear their story, and you know, I also love to give advice. I think there's a lot to just being a mentor, and I mentor a few other businesses. So happy to have people call me, you know, and have a conversation.
And the phone number?
It's 310-880-8673.
Okay, you guys, treat that with respect. Treat it well. Thank you so much for hanging out with the We Are LA Tech podcast. It is really, really exciting to see everything that you're doing in the pet industry. I mean, who doesn't want to be closer to their loved ones? I've had many pets throughout my life, so I know the feeling. And if you guys want to connect with more incredible companies and people in the LA Tech ecosystem, of course, go to wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP. We built this awesome private collaborative chat so everybody in the city can easily connect with one another, support one another. I'm really proud of it. And to know all the events going on in LA, you just go to wearelatech.com/app, and then we built a calendar of every single community organizer's event. So it's crazy. Thank you, Carl, for constantly maintaining that for us manually and making sure we've been. Do you know that I've maintained that community calendar since 2012? It's insane. So, like, in 2012, we had like an event a week, and now it's like 10 a night. It's crazy. Yeah. And so, thank you so much for spending your time with us, Carlos, and you're awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Huge shout out and thank you to Betalist. Betalist is amazing. I've used Betalist for my past startups. Betalist gains you early traction to your startup while it's still in beta. Go to betalist.com/wearelatech. That's betalist.com/wearelatech. Thank you for powering the We Are LA Tech podcast. To get text alerts when new episodes come out, text 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. We Are LA Tech, hosted by Esprit Devora, has been a WeAreTech.fm production.